Welcome back to Gesundheit with Jacobus, Health Talk Radio. Now your host, Jacobus Hollewein.
It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. Good morning. Hour number three, that is correct. Goodness gracious, I often say that it's not cliche, but 3 hours go by very quickly. We're only 2 hours in, but I already look at what we still want to discuss with you on the agenda from today, and there is just a lot still to go. We may need 2 extra hours, but we won't be able to get them. So we'll use what we get, and we will enjoy it all the way. My guest, Kathleen Marie Carlson, I want to read the intro again because I really like it. And for those of you who tune in late, and it gives you another idea about her. Her primary interests have always been the arts, healing, and spirituality. As a teenager, she began to pursue complementary health and alternative philosophies and ideas in earnest. She began to attend conferences and lectures on everything, from Atlantis to Native American prophecies, to the Egyptian pyramids, to color therapies and music therapies. Kathleen attended several universities after high school. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in studio art from the College of William and Mary, a master's degree in humanities with a thesis on the scientific and aesthetic connections between color and sound, which was California State University, and she completed a year of doctoral studies in adult and higher education at Montana State University. She spent over a decade living in intentional communities like Quaker, Sufi, and New Age, eventually meeting her husband Andrew, settling in Bozeman, and having a family of 5 children. Kathleen is the author of almost 200 articles. And the book Flower Symbols, The Language of Love. In the last decade, she has held over 70 art exhibits and created nearly 100 educational presentations and workshops. Kathleen loves to share her passion for transformation and the healing power of the arts, and she sure does. If you go to her website, kathleencarlson.com, and again, Carlson is spelled K-A-R-L-S-E-N, then you'll find lots of information. Click on the bar at the top and go either to music or go to her blog or go to her art or go to home or learn more about her. It's very, very well laid out. I really appreciate it. And I, it was enjoyable reading. I couldn't get it all read. Sorry, Kathleen. I tried, but it was a lot of reading.
Took years to build, so.
Years to build. There you go. Oh, I feel good. I feel better now. Good. Now, the other thing that she has written is a book that just came out. It's called Vocal Medicine, Transformation Through Sound, an introduction to mantras, chanting, and kirtan.
Kirtan.
the print didn't come out very good. Luckily, I got the book laying right here, and kirtan. And so if you are interested in anything that Kathleen is talking about, you do want to get this little book. And by the way, in the back of the book, there is about 30 pages or songs, something like that.
There's four chapters. I think there's a little 20, 22, something like that of songs.
I think it's more than that. Yeah, there's a lot of pages. And but the text and the melodies, you can play along and sing along. And then when you go to your music site on your website, then all these songs are number 1 through 20 or whatever, or 22, are all on there. You can actually click and play and then sing along with the song.
Right.
Very nice.
Right.
Very
Thank
nice.
You.
Wow. So if you're interested in this book, Vocal Medicine, learn a little bit about it. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on the Barnes & Noble website. I was going to say Borders website, but they don't exist anymore. Any case. Oh, boy. Oh, and if you are interested in calling Kathleen, if you just want to, you know, set up something for a wedding or whatever, just dinner music in the background, 406-599-3235. 599-3235. Can I give that number out? It's okay?
Yes,
I mean, I already did. I should have asked you before I gave it out. I should have given you an email, but it's all good. So, very interesting show. And what I really like is your storytelling. I enjoy the way you describe who you are, what you some of the things you've been going through. Obviously, 3 hours is never enough to explain somebody's life. But I can tell, just listening to you, your honesty and your happiness of finding what you're doing today, and your gratitude. I can just feel there is a gratitude for life. And that is something that I feel you're trying to share. You're doing your best to share with other people. And to be able to find the band, Andrew was an automatic shoe and he drew the shortest stick, right?
Well, he actually, that was a surprise for me. Because what happened was he helped me buy the harmonium. So mm-hmm. he was, you know, supporting me, trying to learn how to do this, but he wasn't part of it. And, you know, he has been a musician. He plays guitar, actually, as well as recorder and mm-hmm. sings, and now udu drum. He loves folk music. He loves Norwegian, Scandinavian music. He's Norwegian. And kirtan wasn't his thing. But when I came back from getting some training down in Boulder with Mike Cohen at his Kirtan Leadership Institute and decided, you know, I'm gonna just start doing this. So I rented space. I started with the Renew Studio, a wonderful studio near Main Street here in Bozeman. And I just sent out notes to friends. I didn't have a website, didn't have a Facebook page, nothing. And rented it there and set up. Two people came to the first one that I did. And just like 2 hours before it was supposed to start, Andrew shows up and he says, okay, well, I bought you a microphone and I bought you speakers and I'm going to play with you. So that was the first. And then Marius joined us next. He saw my flyer. He had missed the kirtan, but he said, oh, I'm really hardcore kirtan, you know.
Really?
Let's play together. And he's in a number of groups, as actually my husband actually plays with other groups in town now. So it sort of grew from there. And then another woman came and had played flute when she was like in middle school and said, well, I don't really sing, but, you know, I could start taking flute lessons again and play with you. Mm-hmm. So we've had a few people come and go and people, it's really wonderful to have other musicians supporting it as well.
Yeah.
It's turned great. Into a band.
Yeah, it's just so funny to say that when you think about Bajans and chanting. We got a band.
Exactly.
But it must be an absolute pleasure. I mean, that you have Andrew to share it with and that you both say, you know, maybe you both get inspired. I see a lot of songs that are written, says original song by you, mm-hmm. Kathleen Carlson. But to me, if you can do something with your spouse who is your best friend, it's really... delight. It almost feels the sun is a little brighter every day when you wake up.
Yes.
That you can do it together.
Yeah.
That you have somebody in your corner.
And it you know, the skill set matches well because, you know, he comes from a multimedia background. You know, he is a video producer. That is what he does for a living. Uh-huh. And that's what he has education in. And so he knows the audio stuff, he knows video, he knows all the technological stuff, you know, he knows the software. And you know, I'm learning to do it myself because he's got a full-time job.
Yeah.
But I've got someone where I can literally call him up at work and say, hey, can you screen share with me? Because I'm trying to, you know, edit this piece and audition, or I'm trying to create a little video to put on Instagram or something. And it's fantastic, you know, just to have someone right there
who's
got the equipment and the skills and the willingness. So uh-huh. he is a fantastic support. Mm,
great. Great. When we before we went to the break, after you played some really nice music again, and I hope you do one more piece or maybe two more pieces for the listeners on your harmonium. So for those of you who don't know what an harmonium is, it looks like a church organ, but then only 2 feet wide and about a foot and a half deep, and it has one of those squeeze things on the front that as an audience member you see. And it squeezes like an accordion, and it kind of causes an air effect and an echo effect, or what would you call it? No, it makes a sound.
Yeah,
right?
it makes a nice sound because the air is going over double reeds, so it's got a bass reed and a treble reed for every note. And the style of playing harmonium It is a drone instrument. So either you're using a stop on the front, like the stops on an organ, to hold a drone. What I tend to do is hold a drone with one finger and then play the melody with the other fingers. So one hand is pumping, so the air is going over the reeds, and then the other hand is holding a drone. I like to hold the drone rather than using the stops, because then you have a lot more flexibility. You know, so
usually
thumb, but sometimes the fifth finger. So you're usually holding, you have to be holding a drone that is consonant, not dissonant with the melody that you're playing.
Okay.
So, you know, consonants and dissonance will come and go when you're playing up and down with the melody. But, you know, if you held a note that was dissonant, not in the harmony for a measure more, it starts to be annoying. It's like irritating.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So when you're just using your fingers to hold a drone, the thing is that on a piano there's a pedal. So I used to play the piano, and the pedal is the sustain pedal. So that allows the sound to blend. So there's nothing like that on a harmonium. As soon as you let go of the key, it stops the air, and that stops the sound. So mm-hmm. it would be very abrupt. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're holding a note or holding a drone to make it a smooth sound. And then at the end of a song, for example, you have to hold the keys down as long as you want the sound.
But it is
sound.
Also, it's called an harmonium. It's not called a disharmonium.
Exactly.
Right?
It's a harmonium. Right?
It's supposed to be harmonious.
Yeah. So that, so that was the major shift, from piano to harmonium, was getting used to only playing with one hand and getting used to, sometimes if you're really trying to play a melody and there's a lot of notes in it, you're holding a note at the same time, you end up with very unusual configurations of your finger. You've got one finger sort of jumping over the other one to get up to the next note and that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was, it took 6 months or so, to really get used to the differences.
So if you don't use the bellow, the squeezing thing, then it doesn't make any sound? It has no sound?
Okay. Well, as soon as you stop pumping on the bellow, whatever air is left in the instrument will still produce sound.
But if
as
you don't
that air
open
dissipates,
that
then there is no sound.
So if you have the bellow
closed,
there
is no sound,
there's no sound
at all.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, good.
So
because
you have to be
I
able
didn't,
to coordinate
didn't think about it. When I saw you play, I thought, is she trying to get the special effects out of the instrument?
Well, it's funny because people who are musicians and really pay attention to the subtleties, some people consider the sign of a good harmonium player to have a smooth and continuous sound. So someone like me, who's not, a virtuoso player, I tend to be pumping the bellows with the beat because that just helps me keep time as well.
Okay.
But some people would say, oh, yeah, she's really totally amateur because she's just like pumping with a beat. But when I was doing the recordings with a DJ here in town and talked to him about that, he said, oh, no. He said, do it the way you do it, because when I slow down, then I pump less. Or if I want more volume, if you want it to get louder, you pump more. He said, Don't go to that even steady thing that some people admire, because there's less variation. Oh. So it just, maybe it's just stylistic.
Hmm.
I haven't attempted to master having my left hand do something that's not on the count.
Right. Wow, very, very interesting. I mean, I'm sitting over here, I'm looking at it, and of course all of you are going like, I don't know what he's talking about, but it looks really, it's a beautiful wooden box that is open, and it really looks like a little mini organ. And like I said, 2 feet wide, about a foot and a half long. And how high would you say it is, the way it is all folded out?
About a foot and a half. About a foot and a half.
And then in the front is a squeezy thing, a bellow, what they call it. Yeah, I'm just telling you how I see it, that people have an idea. But it makes an amazing sound, amazing, amazing machine. So beautiful stuff. When was the first one made? How old is this instrument? Is this
that I don't know.
I mean, is it hundreds?
It was actually not originally made in India.
Oh, it was not.
Made in France. But the Indians took it
as
over.
As you're talking, I'm thinking France. I don't know why.
Yeah. Huh. And I'm not sure when that was. I really don't know. I think it's hundreds of years. It's not thousands.
It's not important.
But it's quite a feat of engineering.
It is. I agree. And the beautiful tone that it holds, that tone.
Well, never needs tuned.
Is that right?
Yeah. If you wanted to
so
change
it is an harmonium.
Yeah. If you wanted to change the tuning on it, you would have to file the metal, what did I call them before? You know, the metal, I can't even remember the name. The things that the air goes across.
Wreath?
The reeds, that's it, the reeds. You'd have to file the reeds to change the tone. Okay. So it's going to stay in tune unless unless the warp the wood itself significantly warped or you get a piece of gravel stuck in there or something. But it's pretty solid.
522-8255 522 talk. So we were talking about mantras and anything you repeat to yourself becomes a mantra, is what you say over here. So you got to be careful. You don't, when you say a personal tagline, you said, I love traveling. I hate running. I am the best. I am the worst. Those are all mantras. If you keep repeating it to yourself, it's kind of your own little thing, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Mantras as coded formulas. So that's that. Now, apparently, the mantras can have a strong effect on the brain. You say the pineal gland or pineal gland, pituitary, the thalamus, and the hypothalamus. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So when you are singing, the sound is starting like at your diaphragm and through your heart, through your throat, but the sound ends up in your head. So that's where it is, bouncing around inside your skull. So your skull is like a resonant chamber. And in the center of your brain is the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, the hypothalamus, the thalamus. So that's where most of the vibration is happening. So, if you take voice lessons, often people will be told, to sing through the front of your skull. So you're trying to sing through, your forehead or through the front of your skull, as in, singing through your nose, but not nasally, but just through those bones. So you are vibrating the bones, which are then vibrating these very, very delicate organs in the brain. And those organs, for example, the hypothalamus is helping to regulate your body and helping to regulate the chemistry. So regulating your body through the chemistry, those glands are considered the master glands in the body.
Yeah.
So what happens then is that oxytocin is mm-hmm. released. Mm-hmm. And oxytocin, of course, is the bonding chemical, most well known for the bonding between a mother and a baby during infancy. So oxytocin helps to release the flow of milk for a mother who is going to be nursing a child. But it also has to do with bonding between adults and bonding between people. So oxytocin is released. Dopamine, which is also considered like the friendship chemical. So when you have a connection to someone, it releases dopamine. So hanging out with your friends is good for your brain.
Yeah.
And then it lowers the stress hormones. So cortisol, for example, is lowered. And this is group singing, not specifically kirtan, but the studies that have been done. Some have been done with Sanskrit, but others are just done with the process of singing in a group. So people come to a group, like if you went to group therapy. So you can sit and you can talk about your problems. And that can be extremely helpful. I've done that myself. Mm-hmm. But you can also come together and you can chant. So you could sing in any tradition or no tradition, or you can get together and sing pop songs. So a sing-along.
Sure.
So even with a sing-along where you don't have a particular sacred or devotional purpose or self-improvement or anything like that in mind, the chemicals are still released. So something happens when people are singing together, breathing together, their heartbeat starts to synchronize. And then these chemicals are released. So there have been studies done now showing that group singing is more effective for relieving depression, anxiety, isolation than group therapy, than talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, depression, anxiety, and isolation are huge, huge problems in our culture, in modern cultures today.
It is.
And this
there's
is...
There's more people, but there's more loneliness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is, group singing is an antidote. And then for me, when you add the sacred aspect, or even if you just look at it as a self-transformation, I'm singing consciously to transform myself, to be more loving, to be, you know, more fulfill my potential in whatever way, you know, that is necessary, then you've got a whole nother layer on top of it. So I think then you've got the brain science going, you've got all the chemicals going, and now you have a psychological level and you have a spiritual level as well.
There is actually research done on the effect of sound and harmony on brain levels and cell levels in general. Mm-hmm. And that to me is so exciting. I've known for a long time about the Swiss scientist Hans Jenny,
yeah.
Who in 1949, I think, discovered back in the day. I mean, what did we know at the time? But that when you actually create sound, even if you cannot hear it, when you run that through a combination of machines, it's just fascinating how men were thinking about it at the time, because I've seen pictures where you just see four or five machines, and then they would end up with something called an oscillator, which converts sound into vibration. And then he would have a little plate on top of the oscillator, like a half inch on top above it, and put substance on it. And by changing the sound, you could actually create a vibration that would change the shape.
The pattern.
And we can talk about it, because you probably know a lot more about it than I do. But that is that's fascinating, that indeed sound creates form. And I think that all of us need to understand more how that works, because it's, it's one of these important things that we have to become more aware what we say, how, and whatever we do. So anyway, we've got to take a break.
Okay.
So, I'm yapping away. Folks, stay tuned. We will be right back.